In the movie The Quiet Man, Ward Bond plays a Catholic priest named Father Larnagan. And he's telling the story of the quiet man, and he says, as any story, let's begin at the beginning. So we're going to spend the next several weeks in the Old Testament. Today we're going to talk about in the beginning God. And to me that says it all. In the beginning God. Have you ever wondered if God's such a good God, why is there so much bad? I've heard people say that. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian apologist, was an atheist. And he said in his book, Mere Christianity, he said, that was my statement to the Christians. If God's so good, why is there so much bad? And he said, one day the thought came to me, where did I get my concept of bad? And he said, as he began to think about that, he began to study it, cultures, and he found out across the board in this world, most cultures are pretty much on the same level as what's bad. Murder, rated high among them. Infidelity was another one, and most cultures was considered bad. He said what the Nazis did to the Jews and the Poles and the Czechs, the world itself looked down upon as evil. And he said, I came to the conclusion that if I admit that there is evil, I have to admit there's good. Because he said, we use good to compare evil to. You know, we have a definition of what's good, and that's what we define what is evil by. If it's the opposite of good, then it's evil. So if there is good, where did it come from? If there is truth, if there is absolute truth, he said, where did that come from? And he began a search, and he said the last book he read was the Bible. And that's when Lewis came to Christ, because he was convinced of the truth of the Bible. It answered his questions about life, and that's where we're going to start today. Why are we here? I hear that. Well, why are we here? Who are we? Are we an accident? I remember I have a documentary at home called Expelled. I need to bring it in here and put it in the church library so you can check it out. Ben Stein goes around and interviews these professors. Some of them were tenured, which means they weren't supposed to be able to lose their jobs. These professors, especially in the science field, who were expelled from universities because they began to teach intelligent design. Not that there's God. They didn't preach. They didn't talk about Jesus Christ, which they're not allowed to do in universities. But they questioned evolution, and they said, our study of biology and earth science and natural science leads us to the conclusion it's too complicated just to happen. It's too ordered. There must be an intelligent design. And they lost their jobs. And Ben Stein was talking to an award-winning evolutionist biologist. He'd won the Nobel Peace Prize, the science award of that equivalent. And he said, do you believe in God? He said, no. It's ridiculous to believe in God. He said, I think Christianity is ridiculous. He said, then can you explain to me how we got here? Well, I wrote this book on it right here. This tells of the how we got here. And Ben Stein said, I read your book. He said, I got a question for you. Where did life come from? He said, we don't know. Because in evolution, they've tried in evolutionary science to produce something from nothing. And it doesn't work. It had to have a start. Well, he let the guy talk, and then Stein said, okay, where did life come from? He said, I told you I don't know, but I have a theory. He said, I believe eons ago when the earth was formed by this massive explosion, and there was this primordial soup, an alien from another planet came and planted a seed of life in the water. Ben Stein said, where did he get the seed? I don't know. Well, my theory is just as relevant as his. Maybe he called Santa Claus and said, would you deliver this seed of life to the earth? He said, I'm too busy. Get the Easter Bunny to do it. That's how I feel about those kind of explanations. The honest answer was, he couldn't explain it. We're going to talk about it today. Where did life come from? How did it start? Where did this world come from? Who are we? Why are we here? Now, I am jumping around a little bit in Genesis today. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, Genesis 2, verses 5 through 9, and 15 through 24. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now we're in Genesis 2. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept took one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and were not ashamed. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word, that it never returns to you empty. I pray that, Lord, as we start this series, that you will reestablish and reaffirm our faith. And Lord, if there's any here that do not know you, I pray that this will begin to answer some questions for them and maybe start them on the path to salvation. I pray for the baby Christians that are here, Lord, that you will help me to present this in a way that they will begin to be instructed from your word and to understand where we come from and why we're here. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'd buy that a lot quicker than some alien in a spaceship come and flip the seed of life into the water, especially because the evolutionists can't tell you where the life came from. God is the source of all life. God is the only one who can make something out of nothing. I believe that. What we see here, it says, God said, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to? It has to be God. I heard one preacher, a Pentecostal preacher, say, well, he was talking to the devil. I heard another preacher say he was talking to the angels. But the Bible doesn't say that we're made in the image of the angels or in the image of the devil. It says we're made in the image of God. Well, what does that mean? If I'm made in the image of God. If God speaking to God, is God more than one? There's a false prophet on the airways, Arthur Murray. Now, he's dead, but he's got others in the Shepherd's Chapel that says, well, see, God is one, but he has his separate offices. Just like my wife's a school teacher, but she's also my wife. When she needs to be the teacher, she's a teacher. When she wants to be my wife, or when she needs to be my wife, she's my wife. And he said, that's how God works. God created the earth, and when he needs to be God the Father, he's God the Father. When he needs to be God the Word or the Son, he's God the Word. When he needs to be God the Holy Spirit, he's God the Holy Spirit. That's not what the Bible teaches. Unless you're saying that God might be a little schizophrenic, talking to himself. I had a guy challenge me that one time. Well, if Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, who is he talking to when he said, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Was he talking to himself? I said, no, he was talking to the Father. I'm getting sidetracked. Who are we? We are created by God. In the image of God. What does that mean that I'm created in the image of God? And did you catch that he didn't just create the man in his image, but the woman in his image? Ladies, God has a very definite feminine side. What we would determine as feminine. He has the masculine side. He evidently thought that men couldn't handle having both sides. So he divided it. I read a study the psychologists had done for like a period of 20 years. They studied the male brain and the female brain, and they found out that in the areas where the male brain was dominant, the female brain was weak. But in areas where the female brain was dominant, the male brain was weak. And they came to the conclusion that if you take two of them together and put them together, you got the whole brain. You have the benefit of the whole brain. That's why they say that a family needs mama and dad. That was God's design. Well, if we're made in his image, what image is that? It says that God created them in the image of God. The scriptures say God is spirit. Now, I've heard the teachings, not in this church, praise the Lord, but I've heard the teachings that man is a dichotomy. He is merely flesh and breath. He is not a spirit. But if you're going to believe what the scriptures say, you're created in God's image. Do you know that makes you somebody? Amen. God does not look at anyone that's sitting in this room and say, huh, I wonder who that is. You know, the church used to be so hard on illegitimate born children. They would punish the children for the sins of the parent. My conclusion on that is, the conclusion I came to, God gave them life. Who am I to tell them that they don't deserve life? That they don't deserve dignity and respect? God made you, so you're somebody. You're made in his image. You are somebody. But it says that he formed the man out of the dirt of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living being. So the Bible teaches that we are spirit because we're made in God's image. We have a spirit that God made, and we have a fleshly body, which God also made. And the spirit lives within the body until the time of death, when it departs. I've heard the teaching that at death you're unconscious. That's from the dichotomy teaching. You don't have a spirit. You go to sleep and we put you in the ground or cremate you or whatever we do. And then on judgment day, God's going to raise the body up. You're going to wake up. I've heard it taught in the Christian church. And that's a fallacy, people. We're created in God's image. We're created as an immortal spirit. Because he's spirit. That's how I know that. God is spirit. Jesus said that to the woman at the well. God is spirit. Well, then if I'm created in His image, I'm spirit. Is God black or white or yellow or red? God is spirit. I seen them old newsreels where the KKK is marching with signs that says, God is white. No, He's not. He's spirit. But He made us bodies that the spirit could live in, called flesh. We have tactile senses. Sight, seeing, hearing, smell, taste. Those are tactile senses He put in this body. He took the man, and the Bible says that this man named every one of the animals. That is impressive to me. That tells me that men never lived in caves and grunted for 10,000 years until they were able to finally enunciate and put words together. Any man that can name all the animals, all the birds, his name is not Grog, and he doesn't go, ugh. Okay? Being created in the image of God, in fact, the book of Luke calls him the Son of God. Adam was a highly intelligent man. I thought about my arguments against gay marriage, because I'm very much against it. And the Holy Spirit took me back to Genesis. Adam named the animals, and the whole time, God was looking for a helper for him, and He didn't pick the dog. You know, they say today, dog is man's best friend. Well, not really. Because God would have said, you know, old Rover's pretty good with that, man. They work good together, so that's going to be your helper. The Hebrew says completer. God said there was no one to make the man complete. Remember, he had half a brain, psychologically. He had the male dominant brain. And God said he's not complete. I'm going to make a helper. And He put Adam to sleep, and He took a rib out of his side, and He made the woman, and He brought her to Adam. And I think that God, being the Heavenly Father, said, close your eyes. I got a little present for you. I got a little surprise. And Adam closed his eyes, and God brought Eve up there, the prototype of all women. 5'4", 130 pounds, brunette hair, big brown eyes. Whew. Adam said, she's going to be called, whoa, man. That's what I think happened. I had that revelation after I ate some pizza one night. But God said, here's your completer, Adam. God made the choice in the beginning of what marriage was to be. One man, one woman. He didn't make him a harem. He didn't make Steve. He made Eve. I don't have to fist fight with these people. I don't have to cuss and discuss. It's settled in my spirit when somebody says, why are you against gay marriage? Because in the beginning, God made them male and female. The Bible says at the end of His creation, He looked at what He had made, and it was very good. I remember in Bible college they said there is a thing called theistic evolution. And a lot of churches are taking that stance today. Well, this is how we compromise with the evolutionists. God made things to evolve. Well, then it wouldn't have been complete. It would. That infers that God made an incomplete creation. He didn't make us to evolve. Why is a dog's hair thicker in the winter? That's adaptation. That's not evolution. Why do you have enough sense, some of you, to put a coat on when it gets cold? Adaptation. We are made in the image of God. We were put here to have fellowship with Him. That means you're somebody. How were we made? Good. Now, I'm not a Pelagian. Pelagius said that all men are born righteous until they sin. But this is what I believe. All of us are born free of sin until we sin. Okay? Jesus said, whoever sins is a slave to sin. We're not born slaves of sin. Next week, we're going to talk about the fall and what happened. And that can answer your question or answer somebody else if they say, well, if God's so good, where'd all this evil come from? This that you and I live in today, this reality, is not what He created. God did not make you to bear stress. You know why death is so foreign to us still? That's not His plan. That wasn't His plan. That's hard to get my mind around sometimes, that I'm made in the image of God. I'm not God, but I'm made in His image. That means part of Him is in me, especially as a Christian. If you're made in the image of God, you're somebody. I don't care who you are. I don't care what walk of life you're in. If you're created in the image of God, you are somebody. And you are very valuable to Him. God does not make mistakes. He's never made any boo-boos. He's never looked at anyone in this room or anyone on this planet and said, I don't know who you are. I don't know why you're here. You're an accident. That's what they teach in school today. You're an accident. After the Supreme Court ruled that a child is just a piece of tissue, family violence increased in this country steadily and has been. The murder of children and children murdering their parents. Kids going to school and shooting up the classrooms. I saw a cartoon after Columbine, and it showed two boys standing outside in this school, and his windows were shot out. And one boy said, how come God didn't stop this? And the other boy said, they won't let God come to school anymore. That's the reality we live in. In the beginning, God. That's my answer to Hawkins and these other great brainiacs. I can't stand toe-to-toe with them with science, but I can tell them in the beginning, God. Won't you stand with me this morning? If you're here this morning and you've never called out on the name of the Lord, the Bible says whosoever will call out on His name will be saved, then we would invite you to come up here and we'll talk to you about that. If you're here this morning and you would like to place membership in this church, if you're an immersed believer in Christ, then we invite you to come forward and place membership here as Dr. Mark sings our song of invitation.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. You are the power. be like.